Blog Talk Radio.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night.
Welcome, everyone. This is Dr. Shirley Canis, and I am here with my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Canis. We are general managers here at WSCIRO, See Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston. And you are here at Blog Talk Radio, and it's so awesome. I was just commenting to my husband when we had that introduction on. I just started laughing. The joy of the Lord just came over me, and I was like, this song makes me so happy. And I'm thinking, what's so happy about it? It's because of the joy and the freedom that we receive when we make the Lord and Savior, when we make Jesus our Lord and Savior of our life, and when we accept and receive, when we accept and receive His love, but also when we receive the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of the living God, the Spirit that Jesus sends to us from the right hand of the Father to His church, the bride. And that's what we want to celebrate today. That's why I'm so joyful, because today is the feast day of Pentecost. It is the birthday of our church. I'm not talking about denominational church. The church, where there's two or three baptized believers in Jesus' name, He's there. This is the church, okay? So we're looking more beyond the scope of denominations, and we're looking into the body of Christ, the broader picture, the bigger picture. And it's just so awesome that we can celebrate this alongside of our Jewish brothers and sisters. This is their Shavuot. Is it? Yeah, Shavuot. Yeah, I said it right. And it's our Pentecost. So, we're gonna go into the scriptures, Acts 2, and we're gonna place ourselves in that upper room at some point in this broadcast, and we are going to just call upon the Holy Spirit. But before then, we're gonna, we always open up our shows praying into the what the Lord wants for the show. Praying for God's will, praying for His blessing. And because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit that the Lord sent to the church, His Spirit, bringing us into all truth, we are going to call upon the Holy Spirit. And then today we're just going to dedicate this show. We should always dedicate every day of our lives to the Holy Spirit. But we are, in a special way, going to ask Him to come on in there and just do the show for us, okay? We want to just be put aside. We don't want to, go ahead of the Holy Spirit. That seems to be like a cry in my heart. I don't want to do anything in my life because, outside of the Holy Spirit, unless I'm in the flow. And I just put on my status column on Facebook today, in commemoration of the feast day of Pentecost, that if we're not in the flow of the Holy Spirit, we're just not going. If you're not in the flow. I mean, there's a flow that is established in the heart and in the spirit of every believer who receives Jesus and who receives the Holy Spirit. There is that flow that's established. It brings us into all truth and ease. When we don't have that, to me, that's not, I don't care what, good we're doing. If there's no ease in it of the Holy Ghost, if there's no flow, all right, of Zoe life, okay? Then there's no go. It's just as simple as that. Because then you're going to be in the flesh. You're going to be striving. And you're going to get tired. You're going to get stressed out. You're going to get sick, you know? So, but that's my motto. You know, if there's no flow, there's no go. So I just wanted to share that with you and everything else like this. But the actual topic of the show, even though we're in the Feast Day of Pentecost, is, you know, can these dry bones live? And it is connected to the to Pentecost celebration because what are we? Who are we? You know, we're two or three gathered in Jesus' holy name. We are the body of Christ. Two or three or more are gathered. And, you know, and we, the ecclesia, according to some of the teachers of the church, the Greek, you know, ecclesia means body of Christ. And, you know, when we're a body of Christ, we flow in that Zoe life. We flow in the fullness of faith, you know, and hopefully, you know, we will triumph until the fullness of time. But, you know, what do we do from here to there? I know that in observing, you know, where the body of Christ is right now in time, in eternity, it doesn't look so good because we're in transition. It doesn't look so good because we're beings that live in, we're spiritual beings that live in the world, but we are not part of it, of the world. But where spiritual growth is ascended or where there needs to be further transformation, things can get a little messy. So we can talk about that. And you know, nothing's too messy and nothing's too hard for the Lord. Because when His Spirit works, you know, when His Spirit is breathing to us, we live. We move. We have our being in Him. And so, you know, I thought it was fitting that, and so didn't the Lord, thought it was fitting that we would talk more about what did he do to the in the Valley of Dry Bones? What did He commission Ezekiel to do? It was a resurrection. But we'll go to that scripture first. And then we will look at Acts 2. I am searching for words because I really have not. Jeff, it's been a while since we've done Blog Talk Radio. It's been a couple of weeks. And, you know, when you get out of the kilter, it's like, you know, you feel like you have to start from, like, phase one again. But I just want to say hi, first of all, to all of my Facebook friends. We have now, we're up to 2,141, but sometimes it goes back to like 2,131 and then jumps back up to 2,141. So I'm not sure if I have an imposter page out there. I hope I don't. But speaking about imposter pages, there is a new virus alert going out there regarding something about Beach Babies, something. Beach Babes video. First of all, you know, there's so many things that can come through those video applications that various web developers, you know, put on Facebook. You know, if you don't know who they are and things like that, then if it's not YouTube, if it's not Vimeo, I just want to download those apps because that's how viruses can get in there. And the best way to do it, you know, like if a friend sends you a thread like that through your email, get suspicious, but, you know, just you know, the way that I handled it this time because I got something in my email, but I didn't click on it because I don't have that application, thank God. And I really didn't want to look at that particular video. So I was not, you know, I wasn't interested in it. And so anyways, what happened was, but I was kind of concerned because this person is somebody that, you know, my sister and I grew up with. We went to school with, from elementary school. And I'm like, well, why would they want to send me this thing? And so, so my antennas, you know, my spiritual antennas went up, and what I had done, you know, just you know, to give the person the benefit of the doubt. I just basically sent a little email, just, you know, asking why he sent this, and, you know, let's show some respect, and let's. I was just very coy, and at the same time, I was very, like, you know, I wasn't accusatory. I was just asking the question why. And so I get the email back about, well, I didn't understand what the reaction was. And then I said, well, let me just forward this particular email to him. You know, I didn't delete anything, but I also didn't click on anything. I just forwarded it from my regular email, because the Facebook email is connected to the personal email. So he got that, and then he saw what I was seeing, and so he said he definitely didn't send me that, and, you know, then he made me aware of the virus. There's a web developer out there that's like more like, you know, scanning all these things, and I think his last name is Cluely, C-L-U-L-Y. But if you want to go to Dr. Shirley, just type it in if you have Facebook. You'll see it on my profile. You know, and so if you want to go to that link, it tells you all about this particular virus and things like that. But if you just don't click on it and report it. You know, that's the best way to do it. But don't be so cute. You know, give your friends a chance. I almost deleted this person, but I said, I'll just talk to myself. And, you know, God was like showing me, look, you know, you don't want to go overboard with this. You want to just find out what the facts are, and then go with that. So that's what I did. I thought that was good wisdom from the Holy Spirit. And speaking about the Holy Spirit, we are going to, I hope I didn't forget anybody. Did I say hi to anybody else? Oh, YouTube, my YouTube family too, which, you know, some of them, a lot of my friends on Facebook are YouTube. Fans and Vimeo. Oh, and I have another some more news about social media networking. I guess for those who have a Ning account, I know we have a school ministry. We use a free Ning account. Well, for some reason, it's not going to be free in July. And so, what does that mean for our school ministry? It just means that I actually had a paid service for Vimeo, and all the paperwork and everything that, you know, you could download, you're going to just be able to do it from Vimeo. And that'd be better than me sending it in an email, okay? And also, there's a calendar on Vimeo and everything. Now, we will keep the Ning page, but that'll be more for community. That would be more for forming community. But anything that's a new event or a conference or, you know, or things that we're doing as a school, you will be able to get this on a page, on a calendar page. So I am very excited. I don't panic whenever there's change. I just, you know, like what we said earlier, just go with the flow of the Holy Spirit, and let the Holy Spirit bring us into all truth, and just do what He's telling us to do, you know? So that's all I can say with that. So we're gonna share some things that God put in our heart about what He is showing us about, you know, the body of Christ, and in response to what's going on in the world through social media networking, and also through regular life, you know, things you hear in the news and different things like that. But before that, we are going to just call upon the Holy Spirit. And I also want to lift up Bono from you too. I got an email from, because we're media, we're on the email for the YouTube blog. And we got word that when he was preparing for the next set of tours that are scheduled to, scheduled for North America, that something was going on with his back. I guess it was very extreme, so they're going to do some surgery. So they're going to postpone some of these events, but they don't know exactly what the prognosis is with the back, but they're saying it's very serious. So what we want to do, okay, is we want to call upon the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, just come with your power, come with your fire, come with your glory. You are welcome here in this place. Come with your healing. And, Lord, we just ask right now, Lord, that you would just surround Bono, Paul Houston, with your love. We pray for healing for his back. Lord, we pray, Lord, for a new back. Lord, we pray that you would just straighten out those vertebrae. You would take away the pain. Oh, Lord, you would do a miraculous thing in Bono's body. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the healing that is happening right now. We ask that you would quicken it by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the fire of your love. We thank you, Lord, for the release of those healing angels. Lord, he does so many good things for the people in this world that, you know, many people neglect. And, you know, he has a lot of influence, Lord, and the enemy does not like this influence. And so, Lord, we ask for a hedge of protection to come around him. We ask that you would raise up other prayer warriors that are nearby that can even lay hands on him. But, Lord, you are a sovereign God. You can lay your right hand of healing upon him directly from heaven right now. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the healing for Bono. Come, Holy Spirit, fill him. Oh.
Send forth your Holy Spirit and recreate him.
In Jesus' name. Amen. So we thank you for creating a miracle for Bono of you, too. So anybody that's out there that knows him personally, if you can just get back to me at some point, let me know, you know, what's been going on with him after the show. That'd be great. That'd be awesome. Anyways, we just want to just offer up this show to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit, and Father, to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we are going to rejoice in it, and we thank you. We're going to rejoice in it because of the Holy Spirit, because of his joy working within us, because of the joy that he gives us, you know, in our weakness and making us strong in him. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Is there anything you want to pray down, Jeff? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come, Holy Ghost, Creator, bless, and in our hearts take up thy breath. Come with thy grace and heavenly aid to fill our hearts which thou hast made, to fill our hearts which thou hast made. O Comforter, to thee we cry, thou heavenly gift of God most high, thou font of life and fire of love and sweet anointing from above. Love you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. And we know that the kingdom of God resides on the inside of us, and that the Holy Spirit, everything from the kingdom is within the inside of us. But I know that there are times that we get that impression that the Holy Spirit, that the kingdom of God is also above us and around us. It's very multidimensional. We're very multidimensional beings ourselves. So we just thank you, Lord, that you have not you're not unidimensional, but you are multidimensional. I mean, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Wow, I just feel like just praising the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just want to lift up all the kids with disabilities, Jesus. Lord, there is something in their spirit that is very pure and holy. And, Lord, we ask that as the days draw near to the coming of your kingdom, the second coming of your kingdom, that, Lord, that that their spirits would become more alive, greater than what's in their soul, that it would overshadow, that your Holy Spirit would overshadow their spirit, and that they would become alive, and they would be functioning in that realm where their soul, their spirit rules over their soul. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We ask that you would release prophetic dreams to them, Lord, in the ninth season. Thank you, Jesus, so that they can have hope. I just drive so many students that talk to me about their afflictions and how God speaks to them. I was just talking to someone today named Jonathan, and, you know, he is a seer. He sees and he things in the kingdom, and the Lord speaks to him, and he just has so many questions about, you know, the state of the world, and he's always praying. And I just ask, Lord, that you would just touch John Mariani right now in the name of Jesus. Touch him where he's at, Lord. Give him consolation. Take the spirit of fear and worry away from him. And, Lord, give him a warrior's heart, a prayer warrior's heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Intercede for him in Jesus' name. You know, folks, it's not what we look like on the outside. It's who we are in the inside. The Lord is doing some character development in the Holy Ghost of divine origin. Of divine origin. And we just better get out of the way. I'm telling you, there are some very scary people in the world of social media networks. Scary people who call themselves Christian. And I'm telling you, folks, I don't want to get into the critical spirit. And Lord, I just pray right now that this the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable to you. But the Lord was showing me that this spiritual this carnage all over the place, carnage. And I'm like, Lord, where's this carnage coming from? I put on the news, carnage down in Arizona, carnage in Texas, carnage everywhere. And the Lord is saying it's the mouths of the people. They're devouring each other. There's a weeping and there's a gnashing of teeth, okay? And this angry words are spoken because people put their trust in the government. They put their trust in, in the leaders. And because the leaders that they think are not in power, they react. They react by pronouncing death wishes. These are Christians. And then you wonder why there's laws that, are made to protect the people that, you know, these so-called Christians hate. The people that, you know, want to take over the government and kill people that, you know, are not militia, you know, are not Aryan, are not, you know, like I'm just feeling right now the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is saying he wants all that to stop, folks. You know, the United States will not go back to slavery. My husband was on a chat room, right? And Jeff, can you just explain to the viewing audience, the listening audience, just what you heard on the chat room and what really disturbed you? Here he is.
What it amounted to was history revisionism and the attitude is that this is what was clearly spoken by the person on the site, that, you know, had racism been left alone, it would have been dealt with on its own initiative. And I think that's a big black mark because I understand what human nature is, both the good, the bad, and the wicked. And I say those three categories on purpose because there are people who struggle to maintain goodness and decency in their life, and there's people who keep falling into bad things, who keep trying to come back up and reestablish themselves in the good things, and then there are people who are just totally devoted to being wrong and evil. And this is like an attempt to rewrite history, which I totally oppose, no matter what they're trying to say. And then it was more like embracing the, there was a structure of spirituality involved in it that was very antithesis to Christ. Even if these people say they are Christians, there are there are some groups that distinguish the people who say they are Christians, the people who manifest that they're Christians, by calling them followers of Jesus. They don't call them Christians, they call them followers of Jesus, because they recognize that Jesus is living in them, and that they're, you know, these people who are following Christ are actually doing it and demonstrating the real Jesus. And I think that's what it comes down to. Each and every one of us have to evaluate what we're doing, what we're thinking, and if it doesn't really line up with the proper understanding of the scripture, then it has to be removed. Now, the spirit, one thing people have to realize, that in any given geographical area, there's spiritual strongholds that get developed through the historical culture of that land. And most of, there was, you know, the first peoples of this nation were very, First Nation peoples were disregarded, disrespected, and hated by people who called themselves Christians. There's a particular tribe of people who were pillaged because people got greedy and turned evil against these First Nation people. And I'm thinking about one of the groups in Massachusetts. I'm not going to say names of groups because I don't know enough history to fully explain it properly, but there has been a great sin in our history against these people, and we need to rectify that according to what the Spirit is saying. And there is a thing called protocol. Governments have it. Even township leadership, city leadership, municipal leadership all has different degrees of protocol in order to, you know, to present your wishes and ask your question, like, can we bring our ministry into this area? And then you do a protocol with all the communities in a particular region, and that's to, you know, ascertain, you know, whether it's an acceptable practice. Sometimes, you know, people might say they're not ready for it, and that's not a bad thing, but it's okay to go somewhere else and then pray and have those people in that particular area start praying for the readiness of all the other communities there, and then come back at another time as the Spirit would inspire. Paul, the apostle and guy who wrote 73% of the New Testament, followed protocol. Because he was Jewish, he would go into an area, not necessarily in Israel, but even in Israel, he would go into an area and he would first present himself in the synagogue to the Jewish people. And then from there, if they accepted it, praise be to God. If they rejected it, he went to the local Gentile community and preached Christ crucified to them. But he always started in the Jewish community, then moved outward. Being a Jew, he followed a protocol, which was to present himself to the Jewish community first, then to the Gentile community in any given area. That's why we have the Church of Corinth, the Church of Galatia, the Church of Thessalonica, the Church of Rome, because he followed a protocol. And, you know, when the protocol wasn't accepted and he was put out of the synagogues, he took the message to the other parts of the world, to the Gentile parts of the world. And that's why we have what we have. It's a gift from God, and God is coming back into the lives of his people, and greater power and wisdom is needed to do that in an appropriate manner, because we just want to gun everybody down with the gospel, but you know what? Sometimes guns don't work. Sometimes with the guns and hitting people over the head with the word doesn't work for everybody. So we have to be truly moved by the Spirit and speak the words of God and not just the words of man. so that we're under His anointing, that our words have a positive effect, and that, I mean, I go into Cal Talk and I meet up with this Jewish professor from the University of Jerusalem, and he kind of doesn't even want to talk about anything. He just wants to say, you're wrong, blah, 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 blah. And that's okay, because part of it's his age, and part of it's he's a good teacher, but I keep asking him, well, what good is it to just tell me I'm wrong when you're not teaching me how I'm wrong? The last time I talked to him, that's how I approached it, and I said, give me something to study, and he gave me a link to his website, and he hasn't seen me online there because there were some problems that blocked me from getting on, so it's been months, and he happened to be online at the same time I was, and he came in, and, you know, he just wanted to be his professor self, and he was trying to teach me, and his style was blunt. You know, it's wrong. It's like, I'd like to know why. He wasn't up to talking about it, but I let him go, and I wasn't mean on him or anything, but it was good to see that this Jewish man would even be willing to talk to a Gentile, you know, and so I love talking to people on the internet, especially through the site called Pal Talk, and it's like I find people of interest of many Christian groups and many non-Christian groups, and I just love talking about the things of God with people that are willing to listen, even if they disagree with me. If they're willing to hear it, I'm willing to talk about it. And here's Shirley.
Yeah, there's just so many fiery debates on in the internet land, and the land of the internet, like the land of the giants. I don't know, this little strange feeling, the strangeness is going over me. It's like strangeness of the Holy Spirit. Like the Lord's calling us to peculiarity. And I just felt the strangeness in my spirit. Like even last night, like Jeff, I heard you speaking in tongues last night. And at some points, right, I was like waking up myself, and I felt that these tongues spontaneously came over me. And it was like we were going back and forth in tongues at different times. And something, God was doing something in our spirit, you know. He was like tweaking something, you know. It was like tweaking our hardwired in our heads.
I had surrendered myself to the Holy Spirit before I fell asleep.
Amen. Well, I'm telling you, Jeff, it's very contagious. But anyways, you know, we have to come back to our first love. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's our first love. Jesus is our first love. There's so many other loves out there, and there's so many imaginations of other loves out there. But the real deal here, the bottom line, folks, is, you know, we have to come back to our first love, the Holy Spirit. You know, we have to come back to Jesus through the Holy Spirit, you know, because, you know, the Father first loved us, you know, and he's desiring to dwell in his people, you know, he's chosen us, and, you know, and we have to understand that, but we don't have to, how can I put it, you can't lord it over others. It's like a false sense of pride, I guess, because God wants a people to himself, and he wants, you know, once he sends the Holy Spirit, he wants the Holy Spirit to prepare the people to get ready for his return, to, you know, to breathe life into them and to get ready for his return. You know, this week, speaking about getting the people ready for his return, and the first being last and last being first, I the Lord started having me explore my Native American roots, you know. He allowed me to put my hand on a picture that I had been looking for a year. I wasn't looking for it the other night, and all of a sudden I see my grandmother and my great-grandmother in a picture that they're on the Indian side of the family. I don't talk about it much because everybody always asks me, oh, what tribe? You know, and I want to say, I wish I knew exactly what tribe. You know, I don't want to play a game of guess, but you know, I look more closely at the birth certificate of my grandmother, And my great grandfather, I'm sorry, you know, and my mother, my whole mother's side of the family, I'm still doing some kind of research to find out, you know, just what tribe we're from, because it just looks like a genealogical chart that my brother-in-law did, that there was a migration for some reason in the early 1900s from Mexico region to Maine, and my grandmother was born in Maine, but her parents and her grandparents were from the Mexico, Tampico, Mexico, and then Mexico, New Mexico, yeah. And so there was a combination of Irish blood mixed with Indian blood, and I just, you know, and I want to find out what tribe, because that's very important, you know. You want to find out what your roots are. You want to find out, you know, the Holy Spirit search, and, you know, he searches our DNA, and, you know, he redeems our generations. When you give the generations over to him, he goes back and he redeems everything about that generation, so that the former newer generations can be set free. But he does it with the land, and he does it with the people. And I want to talk about the redemption of the people now that he showed me he wants to redeem through our prayers, okay, through our prayers as believers here, especially in this land. There, you know, the Indians the First Nation people were first here, and, you know, and the land was taken by force. So there's a lot of strongholds just because of that, you know. The Lord wants to dig, you know, right now we're in a period of restoration. He's going back to the ancient wells that have been dug in the land, okay, and through the generations. And wherever we've sown, however we've sown, we will reap. And so how does this relate to the carnage that I saw? And I saw it like a battlefield, like a carnage, you know, and everybody's walking around, but I saw this in the spirit. And the Lord is saying that he's uncovered ancient wells, and some of the ancient wells that he's uncovering is still full of the blood of people, of the blood of the land of wars from former days. And that's why there's a lot of tension in the Mexican and Texas border in Arizona, because that's where the Spanish-American War was fought. A lot of bloodshed, a lot of resentment, a lot of hatred. Oh, I'm going to say the R word. Yes, a lot of racism. Okay. Covered over by the blood, a lot of deception. And that's behind this immigration question. And the Lord is dealing with that. He wants to deal with that. He wants to deal with the people that are in agreement to those principalities that were responsible for the war, the Spanish-American War. And then that, you know, that somehow the Indians got mixed in with that. But the indigenous population. So the Lord wants to heal. He wants to heal that. There are also those who are going to receive generational blessings, you know, all the way back to the seventh and beyond. And that's because of the good seeds that were sown in the kingdom. But, you know, when before Christians came to this nation, it was primarily an Indian nation. And, you know, the wars that were fought unjustly, and, you know, somehow territory was stolen. People thought that they because they, you know, fabricated the war, and they won the war in their minds. Nobody wins a war that, you know, somehow they can, you know, they have access to the land even after the violation. So the reason why these lines of division exist, which triggers the lines of divisions in the body of Christ, because everybody that comes to the body of Christ in America from these different people groups that have unresolved issues that cause a lot of carnage even to this day. And so that's why there's still some unresolved, you know, unresolved conflicts here in the spirit. And it just translates into even the bickering that you see online and some of the, you know, people, the Christians that sound like terrorists, homegrown terrorists, you know, saying these hideous things. Now, we really need to really take heed of this. We need to do some personal inventory and soul searching with the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to heal this bitterness. Because if the Holy Spirit doesn't heal this bitterness, okay, if you're not walking in forgiveness, if you don't ask the Lord what the source and origin of the resentment, of the pain of resentment is towards these subjects that, you know, that spark this kind of hatred. That's what I'm going to say. I mean, that's what I'm feeling mixed with fear. You're not going to see straight. And you really need to. There needs to be reconciliation in this country from the people groups of the past. There needs to be, you know, people that are praying and fasting for this. This thing doesn't come but by through prayer and fasting, the real reconciliation. Because I'm telling you, each person is going to get what they inherited and what they sowed out. And the people that are standing now, the people that are alive now, are going to get what their ancestors did or received or didn't do. And this is a kind of judgment. And we really need to understand the magnitude of this. And this is why the earth shakes, and this is why the earth quakes, because of these unresolved issues, these conflicts that are happening right now in the hearts and minds of people. But this is a warning. But the Lord gave me some hope when I was, he's going to be working very powerfully because of this conflict. This is a very hard subject for me to talk about because there's a part of me that I just like to, you know, to talk more about love. I don't want to talk about the problems. I want to talk about love. You know, I want everything to just go away. But, you know, we have to deal with this. We have to deal with this in the spirit. Okay? In a couple minutes, we're going to go to Ezekiel 37, and we're going to read that scripture. And, you know, we're in the valley of dry bones. You know, when bones become dry because there's no life in them, and what saps us of the energy in our bones, you notice that when people worry too much or where they're stressed out, their bones begin to ache. Well, that's the very beginnings of bones drying out, okay? And it could be very, very painful. But, you know, and then, you know, and when death comes to a body, the bones are very dry. And they're very, when there's no life, they're very dry. They don't, you know, they're dead. There's no life. There's no cells. There's no marrow. There's nothing. There's no hope. And the thing is, I want to say this is the extent of the carnage in America. But he's about ready to do something. He's spoken to some prophets about this already. Kim Clement's one of them. But he's going to do he's in the middle of doing a wonderful thing in the Native American people. The Lord gave me first wind of it in a dream, and I'd like to share that with you before we go to Ezekiel 37 and before we read Act 2. But my husband has a reading, and after he reads from Galatians, I'd like to tell you about the dream. So here he is. Ha.
I just wanted to share a scripture I came across. The Lord was leading me to it. And it's from Galatians 5, and it precedes both the fruits of the flesh and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And I want to read the verses 13 through 15, which gives you the context. For you were called for freedom, but do not use this freedom as an opportunity to the flesh. Rather, serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, there's going to be a switch in the theme right now in the next verse 15, and Paul's going to use this to develop his contrast of the fruit of the Holy Spirit versus the fruits of the flesh. But if you go on biting and devouring one another, beware that you are not consumed by one another. Well, what that means is that you believe that you may have the right to be critical in a very unhealthy manner, and using that criticism as an expression of your evil anger, because there's many words the scripture speaks to about how to deal with anger, such as do not let the sun set on your anger, but deal with it. And the following verses from 16 to 23, Paul sets up his comparison of godly fruit versus ungodly fruit. And this is Paul speaking. I say then, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire of the flesh. For the flesh has desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you may not do what you want. Now, in a nutshell, what is of God cannot fit in the same space as if you're holding things that are not of God. The things of God cannot fit into that space unless you take out what things are not from God. And Paul takes it along starting in 18. But if you are guided by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now here comes the comparison in verse 19, starting with verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, rivalry, dissensions, factions, occasions of envy, drinking bouts, orgies, and the like. Now, this is what Paul says to all of that. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you're living in jealousy, rivalry, outbursts of fury, acts of selfishness, dissension, these things, if you don't put them to the cross and kill them and bring them under the new life in Jesus Christ, you will not receive eternal life. And it's that simple, and there's no way around it. And if you think you're saved, make sure you're not being presumptuous, that you think that because God will forgive you, you can still act in sin, and at the end of my life, I can repent and be saved. Well, your life is meant to be a tree that proves either the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of the flesh. And you have to choose which tree you want to live from, the tree of life or the tree of knowledge, of good and evil. You have to choose which tree, because the fruits of the flesh come from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the fruits of the Holy Spirit come from the tree of life, which is in the garden of God. Even in the throne rooms of heaven, there's a garden where the tree of life exists. And so we continue on, and I'm going to reiterate what Paul said. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, self-gentleness, self-control. Against these there are no laws. Whoa, what a difference. And these are the things that are founded on love. According to the letter of 1 John 4, God is love. Ooh, so the foundation of our joy should be the love of God. Our foundation of our peace should be in Jesus, in our love for Jesus. And he was patient with his apostles for the 3 years he had to train them. He exhibited kindness and generosity to the people he healed and delivered from spiritual afflictions. He showed gentleness where it was called for, like when he delivered Magdalene of the 7 demons that had her and freed her, and her love that was in part from God that was being abused by evil spirits was, once those evil spirits were taken out by the holy name and presence of Jesus Christ himself, she was able to continue to grow in that love. And when came time for the resurrection, she was so in love with the reality. She met Jesus. She knew he was alive. She was the first one Jesus told about himself being alive. And she went to tell the other apostles, and because she happened to be a woman, they said, oh, she's so sad, she's not in her right mind. But then for 40 days, Jesus demonstrated his presence on earth to many, many people. And then on the day he left, he told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. And 10 days later, the Holy Spirit fell on them, 120 people in the upper room, and then they all spoke in tongues. And the apostles went out and evangelized in the street, because it was a great festival, and all the Jewish people from around the world were coming to Jerusalem to celebrate it. And they were in the streets, and then all of a sudden, the power of God came ripping down out of heaven. They heard the strong wind. Then they heard the anointing of languages coming on the apostles, and when they stepped outside of the house, they were speaking in Macedonian Greek. They were speaking in Italian, ancient Italian, and whatever other derivative languages were around in Jesus' time. Everybody who came from any part of the Mediterranean heard the proclamation of the gospel for the very first time under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 people were added to the church that day.
Amen.
I mean, that was the first great expansion, and, and then, but we can't stop at just thinking we're safe for eternity without a life that demonstrates Christ, because that's a hypocrisy. And the Lord will judge everybody according to their deeds, and you can't hide anything from God, so you might as well own it, deal with it, and confess it. And it's all done on the love of God and trusting that he is forgiveness.
Amen. Woo, Shuba. I know. Thank you, Jesus. As Jeff was talking, I started rejoicing because the Lord showed me a spiritual reality here. And the unhealthy attachment to land, to government, in the Western Hemisphere, and all over the world, to be honest with you. If you're a Christian, this is not our homeland. We are citizens in the kingdom of God, all right? We have a higher government that comes to us in the spirit, okay? And when we are walking according to the dictates of the spirit instead of the flesh, we bring that kingdom. We have access to that kingdom, and we bring it through our temple, and we deposit it here upon the earth. And it overshadows all the governmental systems. But we don't have to vote in Republicans or Democrats or Tea Partyists for that. All right? We vote in Jesus. We vote in Jesus. We vote in the Spirit of the living God. We surrender ourselves totally. We ask the Lord to build up our spirit so it can have more power and dominion over our soulish realm. Because it's the war between the flesh and the spirit, the original war, that causes these other wars, to happen, the war in other words, the tearing of the flesh, and things like that. We need to know, we need to understand, we need to walk in that reality, that kingdom of reality, that we are ambassadors of the Most High God, that we are of citizens of a higher kingdom, that we inherit the mind of Christ. We are filled with the Holy Ghost, and we are transformed from glory to glory. We need to walk in that. We need to understand that. We need to be that. We need to be the difference that makes the difference. We don't need to rest on our own laurels, on our own fears. You know, yes, granted, some of us have had legacies of wonderful examples of godly men, godly women for that time, okay? For that time period, we are in another time. Matter of fact, time is getting short. My husband and I were just talking about how time is getting shorter. And the way we were saying is that, you know, people are looking younger because time is getting shorter. You know, we don't have time to even age, because even though we get time out of the future to come into our time, you know, so we can carry out our destiny. What happens is that because we are in the end time, and the Lord says he will shorten time for the sake of the elect because of the stress of the days, because if it was any longer, who could endure, you know, in that, all right, for our benefit, okay, that we are now, you know, living longer. We are now looking younger in a shorter period of time. You know, that's something that, you know, we can't grasp, you know, each day, but as each day goes by, and we look, kind of look back, you know, we don't want to look too far back, but I'm like, wow, you know, I remember, I even have some former pictures from my passport, Jeff, and I'm looking at my pictures, and, you know, and I have been, like, worshiping for, like, years, and in the glory, everything gets suspended. You are, you know, you're not on this, you are not on this earth when you're worshiping. You are in the kingdom, and when you're walking in another reality, and your cells in your body, they adhere to the I don't want to say signs of the spirit, but they adhere to the spiritual realm. They get suspended or in suspended animation. They no longer adhere to the laws of nature on the physical plane, but more on the supernatural plane. Okay, what happens is that age slows down. You are, you know, or maybe there's a reverse. And I looked at my pictures a couple of years ago, and I'm like, I look much younger now than I do when I was in my 30s. And God is doing that work. But you got to accept your inheritance. You cannot persist in the worries and fears of the world. Fear ages you. You know, my friend Nancy was ministering to someone in Southern New England yesterday, and this person is struggling with some health issues, and Nancy was given a testimony on how the Lord healed her of breast cancer, and one of the things that she talked about is that she had to get her system from a acid balance to more of an alkaline balance, okay? And things like praise and worship, confessing your sin, receiving frequent communion, changing the diet, you know, to get more out of the sugar realm, but getting more into, you know, oxygenated water, you know, fruits and vegetables and different things like that. That you know, lowered the pH balance, that raised the pH higher, which makes it more alkaline. The lower you are, the more acid you are. But as an acid environment actually breeds cancer and things like that. And that's why when people are inflamed, you know, you better watch out when the inflammation comes. Take that ibuprofen, get your body back to acid balance. Look at your heart. Hi, folks. This is Shirley and Dr. Shirley and Canif and Dr. Jeff Canif. I thought that I was carrying a show, and I guess we were not on. it just I don't know how much you got of it or how much you didn't get of it, but we are going to continue on, you know, in this Faith Talks Life Prayer topic being Can These Dry Bones Live? And hopefully you got what Jeff was, Dr. Jeff was telling you about the reading in Galatians. But I was just talking about, and I was really getting on with this, about, you know, when people get sick and, you know, when they're acting in bitterness and, you know, especially when you're a Christian and, you know, you're prone to react into the ways of the world. The, you know, you have an opinion about the political system and you're getting upset and saying this and saying that because it's, you know, you're angry. You know, we can be angry, but we can't, you know, it's not right to live in it. It's not right to live out of that all the time because you can get sick. You can get out of grace and you can get into sickness. And in the spirit of this world, the insanity, the Python spirit that is causing this suffocation in the body of Christ is what, you know, Kim Clement called it. You know, causes this suffocation in our spirit, and it blocks off the flow of the breath of life through the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, this is what we want to do for you know, Pentecost Sunday, is that we want to call back to life, you know, those who were slain in the spirit, not slain in a good way, but, you know, victims of their own tongues and what's done to others and what it's doing to them. But I just wanted to, before we go into Ezekiel 37, I want to go to a dream that I had about the Indian nation, because even if this has happened, you know, this is God's sovereignty. This is the mercy of God for this country. He is going to go to the First Nation people if he hasn't done so already. You know, I had a dream vision. I wasn't even thinking about my Indian ancestry before I had the dream vision. And upon awakening, the Lord brought me to this Indian powwow celebration, and I was in my Indian garb. I didn't know how it got on me, but I did have this instrument. It was placed in my hand. I'm a drummer. As a worshiper, I am a drummer, commissioned by the Lord himself, the tongue. And I had this, like, real, you know, if you are Irish from Ireland, picture a barong, but it wasn't as deep as a barong. And it was very, very, very round, it was surrounded by bamboo or wood encasing, and it had the animal skin was more like a bear. I didn't stop and ask, so I just did. It looked like there were eagle feathers, and it had bells on it too that went around. So, you know, I was told by the angel to hit the bells, hit, keep drumming it. And I was, you know, I had these boots on, that, you know, furry boots. And I was, whatever I was doing, I was with whatever they were doing. And then I was told, you know, when the time is right, go across the room and blow the horn. And I was wondering, what is this about? You know, I felt, you know, and there was Indian tongues, and you know, felt, you know, I didn't feel bad about it. And then I just, and after that, I just woke up. I'm like, wow, where was I? What was that all about? And then I got ready for the day, and this is the Lord breaking into my time. He begins with dreams. He begins with vision. And, you know, just minding my own business, and I'm driving to get the monitor for the bus, and lo and behold, I never saw it like this before, but the monitor's house is at, like, the end of a cul-de-sac, but he's the only house that's there. It's like dead end cul-de-sac. And I'm looking at the house. It's number 91 for Psalm 91. And the reason why I was directed to that number, and I go there all the time, but that number, Psalm 91, is because an eagle had flown over that. An eagle. The Lord ministered to me about eagles. He says the eagles are in flight. And then I thought about, and then somehow it triggered the dream, you know, about those are eagle feathers and something about the great eagle. The Lord ministered to me about the great eagle. And I'm like, Lord, what does this have to do with the First Nation people? What does this have to do with it? Because it was like one and one is two. And, you know, it was just adding up. And so I posted this on my Facebook page. And the interpretation of this is, says the Lord is sending out the fullness of His great spirit, the Holy Spirit, on the First Nation people. So we were doing a dance. I was in my dream with, you know, the First Nation people doing a dance in the spirit, okay? It says the great eagle is in flight. And the, you know, eagle is, you know, prophetic and it means, you know, revelatory people. And the Indians, by nature, are revelatory people, okay? So the things that the Lord wants us to do is to intercede for the First Nation people like never before. And I'm sure as we do, people that are going to be blessed, and even it's going to come, you know, First Nation blood is going to come alive, and you know, you're going to be a special intercessor for the First Nation people, because it's through their conversion, their coming to the Lord, this country is going to come into a better place spiritually. So God is doing something mighty in this season within the hearts of the First Nation of this nation through worship. So something powerful about that worship that I was part of that was bringing in revival, okay? And so, Lord, I just ask you right now in the name of Jesus that you would touch my people, your people, the First Nation people, with the power of your Holy Spirit, with your gift of worship in a powerful way, that, Lord, as they worship the great spirit, that the Holy Spirit will come in power and glory, that you would just overshadow them and the glory of God would hover over them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. And that, Lord, there will be true reconciliation. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Jeff, I want you to, I'll read Psalm 91. Do you want me to read Psalm 91? We have about, and then maybe you can read Ezekiel 37?
Yes. Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to read, we have 39 minutes left, and I am going to read Psalm 91. All right. Psalm 91. Yes. Over the First Nation people and over all those who are destined to come to the kingdom. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, and nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is your refuge, my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guide you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, saith the Lord, I will protect him. For he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And as I was reading this, I get the sense that this is for all the United States, you know. The Lord doesn't want anybody to fear. But I'm telling you, he's pouring out his spirit upon the First Nation people. That is going to be a sign and a wonder about what he's about ready to do in the hearts and minds of all those who are called, you know, according to Jesus' purposes. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, on this Pentecost day. We thank you, Lord, for what you're about ready to do, how you're about ready to resurrect a people from the ashes. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, how you are going to resurrect a people to a higher place in the spirit. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. The Valley of Dry Bones, Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very, very, very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you out from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. So I ask right now, Lord, and I speak from the four winds, the north, from the south, east, and the west. I speak representing a member of the body of Christ. I speak breath, the breath of life, into these bones. I speak into the people. I speak the life into them. I speak life into the carnage that's on the ground in the United States, the broken body of Christ. I speak life into the body. I speak life, life, life. I speak life. I command life into this body. I command breath into this body, into the slain carnage on the ground. I breathe life, and I say no more to the enemy. I command that you live and do and proclaim and decree and declare the works of the Lord in Jesus' name. In Jesus' holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. Jeff has a reading.
Yeah.
The life of faith is very simple. Who are you allowing to rule your life? Lord, ask me to review this with you from Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Immorality, which can be defined as infidelity against your marriage relationship, not caring for your children, you know, living for the pleasure of having relationship with women and leaving them with children that you have no intention of caring for, and so on and so forth, like jealousy, hatred. If these things are the first things that rule your heart, then there is no space for Jesus. But Jesus' plan is that you can always return, repent of these things that are holding you away from him, and he will come close to you. But the sole condition is, come under my cross, I love you, I will forgive you. But then Paul gets into the, I like St. Paul because he gets in my face a lot, even though these writings are very old, they still seem very relevant to me. And in chapter 6 he says, brothers, even if a person is caught in some transgression, you who are spiritual should correct that one in a gentle spirit, looking to yourself so that you may not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he is deluding himself. Each one must examine his own work, then he will have reason to boast with regard to himself alone and not with regard to someone else. For each will bear his own load. One who is being instructed in the word should share all good things with his instructor. Make no mistake. God is not mocked, for a person will reap only what he sows. Because the one who sows for his flesh will reap corruption from the flesh, but the one who sows for the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Let us not grow tired of doing good, for in due time we shall reap our harvest if we do not give up. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all, but especially to those who belong to the family of the faith.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jeff. Well,
thank you.
Hallelujah. 11 o'clock p.m.
And we have 29 minutes left. Thank you, Rose. She's so funny, she said thank you. She's so mechanical. Anyways, I want to just get back and focus on what we talk about. What we talk about, folks, is a new heart. You know, the Lord wants to give us a new heart. For those who are grown weary, he wants to renew your heart. He wants to renew the heart. He wants you to receive joy and peace. And these are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Fruits of joy, peace, fortitude, faith, self-control, and hope.
Fruitless is short.
Yeah, the fruit list is short. There's more gift list than a list than a fruit list, but, you know, and long-suffering patience, which is patience. But the peace and the joy and the love, these are the fruits, and faith. These are the fruits that endure. Faith is also, isn't it a gift too? Faith is a gift and a fruit.
Faith, hope, love.
Yeah, faith, hope, and love. And, you know, the love of many are waxing cold, and we, you know, that's our barometer. You know how we have weather barometers, and we have, you know, we lots of times it's digital. You know, when you're driving down the street, you want to find out the weather, just look on the weather clock, and you can see the digital with the time, but the digital temperature. Anyways, you know, the barometer of weather, you know how we're walking the Spirit really is how much do we love? How do we love? You know, who do we love? How do we love? And, you know, are we more in anger or are we more in love? you know, if it's mostly in anger, you get it all by the fruits of the mouth. You know, you get by the lips, by the words of the mouth, but what comes out of the mouth, you know, and you know, the ironic thing about it is just that what comes out of us defiles us instead of what goes in. So, you know, if some vile stuff is coming out, we gotta do some soul searching. We gotta ask the Holy Spirit to help us, you know, give us a heart transplant, do something, and things like that, so we can stay in the flow. Stay in the flow of love, stay in the flow of the anointing, okay? So we just thank you, Lord. I just thank you for this revelation. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whoa. For it says in Ezekiel 36, verses 24 to 31, I will take you out of the nation, okay? And, you know, that's what he did when everybody, you know, decided that they wanted to come to this nation before this nation was established, all right? It was the Spirit of the Lord that called you out, called people out to this nation, to the First Nation people with the gospel. I really believe that's how it's supposed to have happened, but the enemy got in there. And it became a hostile environment. It says, for I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you. All right? This is the original purpose. And you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You will be my people. I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and make it plentiful. It will not bring famine upon you. I will increase the fruits of the trees and the crops of the field so that you will no longer suffer disgrace among the nations because of famine. Then you will remember your evil ways and wicked deeds, and you will loathe yourself for your sins and detestable practices. I want you to know that I am not doing this for your sake, declares the Sovereign Lord. Be ashamed and disgraced for your conduct, O house of Israel. This is what the Lord says. On the day I cleanse you from all your sins, I will resettle your towns, and the ruins will be rebuilt. This is the lot for the United States here. The desolate land will be cultivated instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass through it. They will say, this land that was laid waste has become like the Garden of Eden. The cities that were laying in ruins, desolate and destroyed, are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations around you that remain will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt what was destroyed and have replanted what was desolate. The Lord have spoken, and I will do it. And so there is greatness in the land, and the Lord, we're about ready to come into the fullness of our destiny. And it may look bleak to some of you because of how you are looking at things, how you perceive things. But the Lord is saying, do not lose hope, okay? He's pouring out his spirit, and he's given new hearts. He's exchanging the heart of stone for a heart of flesh. He commanded the dry bones to live. And, you know, he's forming a new people. Okay. Now, he's also, you know, like I said, he's uncovering he's digging in those ancient wells. He's examining those ancient wells, what's been sown and what's been, you know, what's been thrown into it. And so this is what's happening. He's uncovering things. All right. It's not a bad thing to be uncovered. That means uncovering it for exposure. But he's going to replace something once it's uncovered. And we just have to let him. This is called relevant ministry. And I need to clarify that because I did something on relevancy and I was watching some shows, and, you know, I guess people have a shallow understanding about what relevant ministry or relevancy really is. And it's not so much that you're addressing the topic of the day, but this is what the Lord showed me, what relevant faith is. And this is the response, you know, regards to what we just read here. And to be relevant, you know, with the things of the Lord and yourself, there's a degree of authenticity and genuineness, meaning true to yourself, true to what the Lord's called you to. What, you know, each one of us, we have our own unique disposition, our own unique identity, who we are in Christ and what He is calling us to be. And we have our road that we need to walk. And we have things in our road. Each one's different according to the nature, according to the workings of the Holy Spirit within them. And what happens is that along this journey, along this way, there are things that are built in that are unique to that person's DNA that only the Lord knows, you know, would get this person to the place where He wants them to be. Okay? In our everyday dealing with people, if we are obedient to where the Lord's calling us to walk, He will put the right people around us to help with that. Or, you know, He would do it sovereignly from heaven. But what happens is that as we learn, you know, as we fall and as we get up with the Holy Spirit, as we take Him by the hand, as we learn about the things we need to learn in our brokenness, in our humility, in our woundedness, as we pass those tests, and as each failure becomes a success in Him, then we need to, the relevant part is to apply our faith to help others that are in those similar situations come to that place. The most effective form of evangelism, you know, is your testimony. And what the Lord will do through His Holy Spirit is match that up with somebody else's struggles that need to know where your testimony is, you know, what your testimony is and how you got out of that same or similar place. So He does matching up. But sometimes there are people that, you know, don't come from that place, and then they feel frustrated because they can't help. But maybe it's because you don't need to be in that place, but you maybe know somebody else that would more or less be effective, you know, to help, you know, walk somebody through because they had a victory in that particular area. So what I'm saying is that we got to really watch that because, you know, we could be acting in disobedience even if we have good intentions, you know. And that's and that's part of the carnage. You know, just people getting frustrated because they can't help or they come into judgment because they don't understand. They're like, how come they can't just do what we're doing? And, you know, but people are weak, and there's an imbalance, and God wants to match, you know, He wants to do the matchmaking. He wants to put, I'm not talking about dating or anything. He wants to put the right people with the right people into, you know, to bring them into that place, you know, of mentorship or of relevancy. And things like that. So, you know, it's we're coming in that place where the Lord's just going to do it all. He's going to be doing the sovereign work in the Holy Spirit. We just want more of the Holy Spirit. And this is what Pentecost is all about. That, you know, each Pentecost that goes by is a time where we reevaluate what the Holy Spirit, you know, how we responded to the working of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, how we can make that relationship, you know, better. You know, because He is the third person of the Trinity. And that's what you want to do when you're in a relationship, you know, with anyone. You know, you want to find, you want to thank, you know, God for the relationship. You want to, you know, always please the one that you're in relationship with on every level. And, you know, and you always want to evaluate how you can make it better, you know. And that's what, you know, the purpose is of celebrating Pentecost each year as members of the body of Christ. Well, I'm fading. It's like 17 minutes. I'm going in and I'm going out. You have another. Wow, you're really on the road, Jeff. My husband has another reading. I love it. I love it. Are we ever going to get to Acts 2? Well, we are in Acts 2. We're at church. Oh, gosh. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We are celebrating. Amen. Okay. Oh, yeah. Bless you, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come with your power. Come with your love. Here's Jeff. All right. Don't hang up. The call. Time to hang up. 15 minutes left.
Okay,
yeah.
I got it.
You got it.
Yeah. Some parts of scripture are self-explanatory, and there's one set of verses starting in Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 1 through verse 4, and in some Bibles it's captioned as saying, the theme is judging others. Stop judging that you may not be judged. For as you judge, so will you be judged. And the measure with which you measure will be measured back to you. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me remove the splinter from your eye, while there is a wooden beam in your eye? You hypocrite, remove the wooden beam, or the same fault you may be dealing with that you're helping others to deal with, but you're ignoring yourself in the process. Remove the beam from your own eye first, then you will see clearly to remove the splinter from your brother's eye. Real simple. Real simple. You have faults, your faults and failings you have to deal with first, and then you can lead others by telling them how God the Holy Spirit inspired you to deal with them. And if you're having trouble overcoming your faults, we're going to jump down to verse 7 of Matthew 7. And Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. How simple is that? Have a problem? Ask the Lord. And he will give you the answer. And sometimes you're going to need to keep seeking him and be persistent with him, because he wants to build one of the fruitful effects of being persistent with God is that your faith will increase. And as it increases, you'll be able to overcome all those things God, the Holy Spirit's going to reveal to you, because he wants to show you where the sin is so that he can help you be liberated from it. Just because you received Christ once doesn't mean you don't have spots in your heart, mind, or soul that need to be touched again and again until they're removed. And it's a lifetime work. And God wants you to get ready, because he has more and more for you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which one of you would hand a son a stone when he asked for a loaf of bread, or a snake when he asked for a fish? If you then are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? And somewhere else in the New Testament it says, give more of the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yes,
thank
yes.
you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
More of you, Lord. More of you and less of me. More of you and less of me. More of you.
And less of me. Hallelujah. More of you and less of me. More of you.
Less of me. More of you.
More of you and less of me. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
We have about 12 minutes left, Jeff. And counting. You want another scripture?
Acts 2.
All right.
You read it too. All right.
Now you got to realize the apostles and disciples witnessed the life of Jesus, and then for 40 days they heard about him showing himself and proving to the disciples and the apostles that he was alive and well, and they all and a good number of the saints saw him go up into heaven, and he promised the Holy Spirit would be coming to us in the first and Luke, who's the author of the Book of Acts, starts with this in chapter 1. In the first book, Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus did and taught until the day he was taken up. After giving instructions to the Holy Spirit, to the apostles, whom he had chosen, he presented himself alive to them by many proofs after he had suffered, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While meeting with them, he enjoined them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, about which you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but you will, in a few days, will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And this came to pass 10 days later after that event, and this is what happened in chapter 2. The coming of the Spirit. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together, and suddenly there came from the sky a noise of like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as a fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound, they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded in amazement. They asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans?" Well, that reference was referring to the fact that these Galileans were fishermen, and they weren't highly educated men. And the fisherman was one of the least trades of the day, and they didn't have time to learn anything else. But the Spirit came on them, and then they started speaking in new languages, and all these other people from around the world heard the testimony of Jesus Christ that day. And then 3,000 came. My question to you is, will you keep coming to Jesus? No matter what the issue, no matter what the problem, you keep coming to Jesus, because he will give you the Holy Spirit and true power to overcome the obstacles in your life if you will continuously surrender and seek the face of God.
Yes, and the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jeff. Wow. Well, we have 8 minutes left, and, you know, all I'm going to say is I just want the kingdom of God to come in a way that it has never come before, and I want to decree to this nation that you will not go down in infamy, that I'm talking about the spiritual part of the nation, that we will not go back to the former ways, that we will go forward into the things of the kingdom of God. And that no weapon formed against the United States, against us in the mighty name of Jesus, who reside here in the United States, but are of the kingdom, no weapon fashioned or formed against us will prosper. We thank you, Jesus. We cover this nation with the blood of Jesus and all the heads of state within the 51 states and territories of America. And we ask that these dry bones will live, and we declare the works of the Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So we're just going to just leave with the cry of the kingdom from Psalm 23, and this is from James Gold's people. I love this, because I can see the horse coming to America and just, you know, pouring forth the kingdom, spreading the kingdom from the east to the west, or from the north to the south. Here we go. The nation. We ask for freedom for this nation, for all the various people groups in this nation. We ask, Lord, for reconciliation and restoration, for true restoration and reconciliation between each other, but, Lord, between them and you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We ask that you would touch all the heads of states. We ask that you would touch the President of the United States. And we tie and bind the betrayer in the White House, the spirit of Python, and all and the deceptive spirits that are hovering right now in the atmosphere of the White House. We ask that, Lord, that you would just release your Holy Spirit upon the Obama administration, and that you would release your Holy Spirit upon the individuals that make up the Supreme Court and the Senate, the House and the Senate. We ask that you would, you know, individually go after the hearts of the people that are in the Senate and the House of Representatives. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And I just want to just thank you for listening to and putting up with us in our little break there, putting up with us at Faith Talk Live Prayer, topic, Can These Dry Bones Live? And for those who want to, you know, look more into these scriptures, we read from and studied from Ezekiel 37 and Galatians 5, Acts 2, and I believe it was Matthew 25 and 27. So God bless you. We love you. Bye.